Church, and we're going to look at some scripture here for a few minutes, John chapter 14, and it was just a blessed week. We really had a series of lessons with the kids on Paul and who Paul was, and then as he became, once he got saved and was a missionary, and then throughout his life and ministry. And this morning's message is one not on Paul, but rather on what Paul preached. And what his message was, and his message was this, our ability or our need to receive eternal life for the purpose of where we go when we die. That really was the purpose, the focus of the gospel, the good news of Christ. And this morning, we're going to look specifically at heaven. Would you do this? Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word, if you're willing and able? John chapter 14, and we'll read the first 6 verses. Please follow as I read. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and who came we know, or how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these kiddos this morning and just the wonderful job that they did here. And Lord, just a great week you blessed us with. I pray you'd be with them even now as they have their class downstairs. And just bless it, Father. Be with us here in the auditorium, Lord, that all this said and done will be honoring and glorifying to you. I pray again, Father, that the seed of your word, Lord, will find good ground in our heart. Lord, I pray you just prepare our hearts for the message that you have right now. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me as I present your word. Lord, may all this said and done be honoring and glorifying to you. We love you, Jesus. Bless our time together now in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As I just mentioned, the message this morning is heaven, and it's that better place. Heaven, really, in our culture, in our time, is a neglected subject of the day. Really, you never hear of anyone from media or anyone from Hollywood ever talking about heaven unless it's derogatory or used inappropriately. You think about it. Many of our hymns speak of heaven, and there used to be many messages on heaven. But that is really going away. I'm not saying it should. It should not. It's in the Bible. It's something that we should cherish, something we could look towards. But I want to just challenge our thought process this morning on why is that? Why is the priority and the necessity of heaven waning in our society? I want to challenge our hearts and our thought process on this, and I believe it's for one reason primarily. Now, there's many different layers to this, and I understand it, but really the reason being is because we're getting too comfortable here. We have, instead of laying up treasures in heaven, as we're told to do, which we'll look at shortly, instead we're laying up treasures here on earth, and we're trying to make earth heaven. We're trying to get that bigger house. We always say God's preparing a mansion for us. Well, that's actually not Bible. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place." He doesn't say, "I go to prepare a mansion." Don't mean to crush your hopes and dreams, but that's not what it says, right? But we try to create heaven on earth. We want the bigger house. We want the nicer cars. We want the grand vacations. And we want all those things. There's nothing wrong with things. God's allowed us to have them, and we're very blessed in America, blessed beyond measure. But when those things get in between us and God, they then become an idol. We are working, we are serving, we are desiring the wrong thing. And when that happens, that can steer us, that can keep us from where our attention should be. And so in a desire to refocus us just a little bit, I want to see what the Word of God has and talks about heaven. Now, the Word of God talks much about heaven. and it talks about the streets of gold. It talks about the crystal sea, and it talks about those pearly gates. And oftentimes in America, that's what we focus on. We focus on the richness of heaven. We should focus on the richness of heaven, but I want to challenge us this morning on a different type of richness that we're going to see in God's Word. We've become too comfortable here. Let's just think about heaven. First and foremost is, it's a real place, right? There's a lot of argument and debate today. Is it even real? It is real. Our text tells us that. Look at verses 1 and 2 of John 14. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." In my Father's house speaks of heaven. It speaks of that place that is prepared for the saints and the angels. It speaks of that place. Now, there's many mistakes made about heaven. There's a lot of different thought processes that are, I'll use this word, anti-biblical or anti-God in an effort to bring down or diminish what heaven really is. You see, people today, our society says that heaven's a state of mind. I hope not. I'm not that imaginative. I'm not that creative. Heaven's far better than anything I can imagine. A lot of people will say that, or at least we act like heaven's here on earth. Oh, I certainly hope not. I'm not trying to be complacent. I'm not trying to be negative, but this isn't as good as it gets. No matter how wonderful it is here, no matter what things may be, it's not near. It's not even fathomable according to what heaven is. Some even believe that it's a different dimension, right? That is some altered state of mind, and it's a different dimension, like there's some time warp or sci-fi piece. That's not heaven. Heaven is a real place prepared by God for His angels, for Him, the Trinity, and is prepared for those who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Heaven is a real place. It's a place from which God operates. It's a place from which God lives. That's where His throne is. In Psalm chapter 11, it says the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. This is where God reigns from. He has a throne room there. It's where He does decisions and discussions, and there's worship and there's praise and there's so many things going on. It's where angels are dispatched from. In Luke chapter 1, you think about it, when Gabriel came down to share the message of the Messiah to Nazareth and to the mother of Jesus, and that's where He came from. He came from heaven, given by or told by God to go down. But what kind of a place is heaven? Again, we think about those streets of gold. We think about the crystal sea and the pearly gates. We think, oh, well, St. Peter standing by the door to let people in and out. Those are some of the misconceptions or some of the maybe wrong priorities of heaven. Yes, there's golden streets. Yes, there's crystal seas. Yes, there's pearly gates. Yes, there's things that are beyond our comprehension of the beauty of heaven. But I want us to think of a different kind of value just for a few moments. I want us to understand what heaven truly is there and truly offers to the believers. You see, heaven is a place of music. I love good music. I love God-honoring music. I love when we sing here as a congregation and when people are singing out and joyfully singing. I love when we hear children sing. This week, the kids had four or five different songs that they sang, and I'm not usually once for a democracy style when it comes to children's activities. In other words, I'm more of a dictator when it comes to children's activities, and I tell them what they're going to do, but I let them choose what songs would you like to sing Sunday morning, and these were their favorites. He said, you know what? It's songs, it's glorifying to God, praise God for it. I love good music. I love the fact we're going to have this concert come in Friday night. I love the fact that these ladies, it'll be a ladies' trio that'll be here Friday night, that they have dedicated their life and their desire to just praise God with their voices and with instruments. I love good music. And part of it is this, is we are made, human beings, are made to worship. And music is a huge part of what worship is. But it's not just part of worship on earth. It's part of worship in heaven. You say, I don't really like this thing. Well, you should get practicing now. Because if you're saved, you're going to heaven, you're heaven bound. Guess what? You're going to be doing it for a long time. Revelation chapter 5, it says, and they sung a new song. I love that verse. I love new music. I love imagining and thinking that when we get to heaven, we're going to hear songs. We're going to hear musical styles and perhaps even instruments that we've never even comprehended here on earth. That the music in heaven is such a state of just glorifying God that we can't even comprehend it here on earth. We'll be singing a new song. It's a place not just of singing, but it's also a place of praise. It's a place where we will be worshiping our Father. Revelation chapter 7 says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. That means everybody. It doesn't matter the color of the skin, doesn't matter the language they speak, it doesn't matter what part of the world they've come from. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. When we get to heaven, we're going to spend so much time praising our God. You know, people, we have the misconception that when I get to heaven, I want to find Noah, and I want to find out what his life was really like. Right? How was the ark? Did it smell? How did he build it? What did he do? We think, oh, I'm going to ask. We're probably not. I don't mean to burst your bubble, but that's not going to be our priority in heaven. You know our first priority when we get to heaven? You know what we're going to long for more than anything else? See Jesus. And to see Jesus must be praised. You must praise Him. We won't be able to help but praising our Father. Again, you say, well, Pastor, that's great. When we get there, that's what I'll do. Listen, it goes right back to singing. It goes right back to worship. We need to start right now. Everything that we do and everything that we say and just who we are should be about praising our Heavenly Father. Whatever we do should be to the glory of God. Whatever we say should be to just worship and exalt Him. When we have problems in life, we say, you know, praise God for it. When things go well, we should say praise God for it. Not just as rote, but meaning it from the heart. A desire to just praise our Heavenly Father. Heaven is also a place of service. It's a place where we are to serve. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 15 says, they serve Him day and night in His temple. Think of that. You get to heaven. We get to sing praises. We worship Him. We serve Him. Serving God. At the end of a week like VBS, it's very easy to be exhausted. And rightfully so. But we need to remember this. We need to keep this kind of perspective. And not just with VBS, with anything, with everything we do. We should think this, I just got to serve God. I just got to serve God by serving others. You know the one way that you can never serve God? The one thing that you can never do that is serving to God is when you're trying to serve self. They go against each other. Right? If you're trying to do what you want to do and do it the way you want to do, you're serving yourself. That's not what we're told. We're told, we're instructed, we're commanded that our responsibility is to serve God. Both here and in heaven. Heaven will be a place of service. Heaven will also be a place of comfort. How many just sometimes you just struggle through the day? Sometimes there's just a battery of things and just never goes right. Maybe you're in a season of life where you're just struggling and you're just trying to get to the next step and trying to get to the next place. And no matter how hard you try and no much how you desire, just constantly, constantly, constantly. Sometimes we just want to have some comfort. We just want to have some peace. Heaven will be a place of total peace. Revelation 7, the end of verse 17, says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God will take that which is painful and hurtful and something that we just can't have control over, and He'll just remove it. He'll wipe it away. He'll remove that sorrow from our hearts. Listen, we don't have to wait to get to heaven for that to happen. In heaven, it will be automatic. On earth, we're choosing how we live. We're choosing how we act. We're choosing of how we desire. What sorrows do you have? What tear or what burden do you have that you struggle with that needs wiped away right here? Maybe it's something that we just need to surrender to God. Maybe it's something we just need to come before His throne and just say, God, I'm struggling with. I'm battling. My heart is broken. I'm just struggling. It's a daily, and you just need to leave it at the throne. He will take it away. And listen, I'm not trying to paint Christianity. I'm not trying to paint God as the genie in the bottle, right? That's not who God is. It's not that you rub the lamp and He pops out and grants you the three wishes. God, make my life perfect. No, it's not going to happen. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever say, if you accept me as your Lord and Savior, if you follow me, if you follow what I tell you to do, life will be a snap. Life will be simple. Life will be wonderful. Life will just be a piece of cake. Nope. Matter of fact, He tells us just the opposite. He says you will have trials. He says you will have tribulation. But He doesn't finish there. He says, but be of good cheer. For what? I've overcome the world. What He's saying there very simply is, no matter what you're dealing with in life, I'm in control. No matter what trials or problems or struggles you have, rely on me. Understand that I have it right here in the palm of my hand. If you're a child of God, that's where you are, right here in the palm of His hand. It's the choices we make in life. It's the choices that which we desire in life. Where's our heart? Where's our desire to be? But in heaven will be a place of comfort. The same comfort that's in heaven is the same comfort God wants to give us right here and right now. It's also a place of rest. It's a place where the Bible tells us that He rests from their labors. It's a place of rejoicing. Revelation chapter 19, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Let us rejoice. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you personally rejoiced? You say, Pastor, we just sang a few minutes. That's not rejoicing. That's singing. That's praising. That's worshiping. Or at least it should be. That's not rejoicing. Rejoicing is just something that comes from within and is saying, God, thank you for what you've done. God, thank you for who you are. It's just praising His name. It's just thanking Him through the hard times of life and thanking Him through the good times of life and saying, God, no matter what, I know that you're in control. God, no matter what, I just want to praise your name. Heaven. Heaven's a place of rejoicing. It's a place where we give Him the honor. It's a place where we don't focus on self. We don't look here, but rather we look to God. We give it to Him in all things, in all ways. Lastly, heaven's a place of beauty. Revelation 21 says, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Yes, there'll be many physical parts of heaven that are beyond human explanation. Yes, there'll be parts of heaven that are just unimaginable to our human minds. The streets of gold and the crystal sea and the pearly gates and the gems and the jewels and all those things. But again, there's one aspect of heaven that goes over and above. Revelation 27 says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. And these last words says, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb's Jesus. the one aspect that's going to be in heaven, that is in heaven, that overcomes any other aspect, is that that's where Jesus is. That's where God rules and reigns. It says that there's no need for the sun or the moon. Why? Because the Lamb is the light. Jesus Christ is the light. That's not just true of heaven. That's true here. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. He is the light in which we can see. He's the light shining in this darkened world that we need to follow, that we need to search for. There's something the Bible tells us as well. It says that we can lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6 says, lay not treasure for heaven. Lay up not treasures in earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. And then it says this, it says, but lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves break in and steal. We have it backwards today, don't we? We try to lay up our treasures here on earth. We try to fill the 401k and fill the bank account and get that bigger house and get that bigger car and have the right friends and get the boat and get the. And we lose perspective. You say, well, how can I lay up treasures in heaven? By rejoicing. By praising. By serving. By being obedient, by doing this, by serving God with all that you are, by saying, God, here's my heart, here's my life, I give it to you. I don't care what happens here on earth. Lord, I want to work for eternity. I want to focus on the things that matter most. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see people understand the truth of your word. Laying up treasures in heaven. Not focusing on these temporal things, but rather on the things that are eternal. Heaven's a prepared place. Look at verse 3 of John chapter 14, our text. And it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Those words that can be so encouraging, so comforting. I go and prepare a place for you. This is John 14. If you skip forward just a few chapters, what happens to Jesus Christ? The cross. The crucifixion. The torment, the pain, the agony that he went through. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Christ knew it was coming. Yet during this time, what's he focused on? He wants to encourage his disciples. He wants to encourage all of us and say, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to get something ready for you. Don't worry. Here's what God's saying to this. He says, don't worry, I got it. Right? Put your trust, put your faith in me. He says, I got this taken care of, but you've got to trust. You've got to have faith. Jesus would leave his disciples. He would go to heaven. He would prepare heaven for them and for us. Heaven's not only a prepared place, but it's for a prepared people. This is the most important piece that we'll share this morning. Look at verse 4. It says, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These are some of the most important words in the Bible. I'm not trying to belittle the rest of the Word of God. It's entirely the Word of God. I love the entire Word of God. But these words right here. Christ says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Heaven is where those who have accepted Christ and believe in Him go when they die. You see, one day, we will all do that. One day, save the return of Christ, we will all pass to eternity. We pray that it doesn't happen soon. We want it to be long from now. But my question this morning is, are you prepared? Are you ready for that? The reality of life is that everybody dies. There's no changing that. They always say this, right? There's two things in life that are guaranteed. What are they? Death and what? Paying taxes. We're not going to talk about the second one because that's depressing. All right. The first one, if you know where you're going, it's not depressing. Right? I'm not anxious to get there. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but I'm not worried about where I'm going. I know where I'm going. My question to you this morning is, do you? You see, for if heaven is real, and we know it is, we believe it is, then hell is also real. And when we die, there's only those two options. Either we'll be in heaven eternally with the Father, with Jesus as the light, or we'll be eternally separated from Him in the agony of hell for eternity. We're not going to speak a great deal of hell, not because it's not real, it's very real. But for this reason, you see, my heart's desire, I have the understanding, the knowledge, knowing of where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. My challenge to each one of us is, do you know? Our desire should be that we want to go to heaven. That we don't want to go to hell. We don't want to be in those clutches of the evil one. We don't want to be eternally in the flames of the lake of fire. We don't want the worms eating. We don't want those things. And God has made a way that no one has to go there. You see, not everyone's going to go to heaven. That's heartbreaking. John 3:18 says this, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." In other words, if we believe in Jesus, we're not condemned. If we believe in Jesus, we're going to heaven. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, it's not that God's condemned us. It's not that God's up there in a judge robe and he's presiding over everybody and saying, oh, you're going to be saved and you're not, and you're going to be saved and you're... No. He has given us all free will. He's given us all the choice, the ability to decide for ourselves where we'll spend eternity. But some, he that believeth not, is condemned already. People make the choice. But you see, Christ desires that none go to hell. Christ desires that no one be separated from him for eternity. One of my favorite verses, and it speaks of heaven. It's a real and wonderful place, and hell is a horrible place, is one that's very familiar to all. It's John 3:16. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me just break that down. For God loved you. God loved me so much. He gave his only Son. I've got three boys. As much as I love you, I love them more. I wouldn't give them for you. That's me and my humanity and my selfishness. I would not. Would I give myself for you? I would. Would I give them? No, I wouldn't. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth, to suffer, to die for you and for me. Because of his love for us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And then it says this, "For whosoever..." Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done that's wrong. It doesn't matter how much of a quote-unquote horrible sinner, horrible person you are. It doesn't matter. Why? For whosoever. For whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, should not go to hell and death and separation for eternity, but rather go to heaven. But you see, it's your choice. It's my choice. What will we choose? Understand this. Jesus says, "I am the way," verse 6, "the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way to heaven. This may seem contrary, since we're in church. Religion will not get you to heaven. Good works will not get you to heaven. Having a sweet spirit and smiling all the time will not get you to heaven. None of those things, none of those actions, none of those pieces that we try to do, none of our personal righteousness will get us to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Listen, I can't do anything to save you. If I could do anything to save you, I would do it. If it would be that easy for me to do, I would do it. Why? Because I don't want to see you go to hell. I don't, but I can't. You have to make that choice. You have to make that decision of where will you spend eternity. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to ask these questions as we close. Are you prepared for heaven? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you'll spend eternity? Have you? Will you accept the Lord's invitation? It's for anyone. It's for everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done. God wants to forgive you. We need to come to Him and be saved. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do it? Romans 10:9 says this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's so simple, folks. Not because I said it is, because the Bible says it is. If you confess with your mouth, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe it in my heart, God will save you. It's that simple. And He made it that simple so that anybody, whether it be a child, whether it be an adult, can understand that good news of the gospel. What will you decide this morning? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the time that you've given. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for its truth. Lord, I thank you for its simplicity. Lord, I thank you that you provided the way for anyone and everyone to go to heaven if they choose you. If they simply confess with their mouth and they believe in their heart of who Jesus Christ is. Lord, I believe there may be some here this morning who are struggling with that. Lord, I pray that you'd give them the ease and the confidence to come forward in just a moment and to ask the questions and to help understand what they need to go to heaven. Lord, there may be others this morning who they know they're saved. They know they're heaven bound, but they're struggling with something. They're struggling with peace. They're struggling with praise. They're struggling with rejoicing. They're struggling with something that they just need to lay at the altar this morning. Lord, I pray even now, you would stir their hearts to do just that.